You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Packers Total Access post-game show. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. If you'd like to email the show, you can send a message to PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. And we have got a packed house in here tonight. We have Jacob and Justin from the Packernet Fantasy Podcast. Appreciate you guys joining. We've also got Goose in the chat. Tried to hop on with a little bit of video, audio. Like we said, it looked like a Charlie Chaplin video, man. It looked like a film from the 1920s. I was about to hold a drink over the light to get that effect, you know how they used to do back in the old day. But anyway, the Packers come away with a 28-19 victory over the Chicago Bears. And man, it was not looking good at first, guys. This thing got kind of ugly. And, you know, I remember thinking, I don't want them to just go straight to the pass, right? Like, let's stick with the run as long as we can. But there was one point where I'm like, screw the run, just start winging this thing all over the yard because it just wasn't looking good. But initial thoughts, start with you, Jacob. What did you think about the game today, man?
Yeah, it's funny, man. We have a Discord chat where we basically everybody from the Packernet Podcast Network has just an open chat where we kind of just, you know, usually it's just BSing and kind of, you know, talking ball and that kind of stuff. And then when the game starts, we all just, you know, have our armchair quarterbacks, you know, things that we throw in there. And yeah, initially we all thought, oh, here we go again. This, you know, here we go with another Packers loss. And yeah, it was just, it was so good to see the team actually dig deep. You're going to hear some interviews coming up about LaFleur and Rodgers kind of being on the same page and having some funny conversations that, you know, we haven't heard from in the last, you know, we've lost, what is it, the last 7 of 8? So we're not used to winning anymore, guys. And that needs to really, we got to figure that out real quick. But it felt super good. I honestly, you know, I was still yelling and cussing and, you know, saying all sorts of things the first half because I just felt that we were leaving stuff on the field. And we clearly were. As soon as we started kind of, Christian Watson's a dog, just as like Bill Ryan just said there, you know, Aaron Rodgers can still play ball. You know, our offensive line, even though we had that was one thing that we did not talk about at all, other than maybe coach in the chat, was Zach Tom filling at left tackle. And was it Yash over there, right tackle? Rodgers, I think he said in his post game, he said, I fell on my back once today. That's a dream scenario for a quarterback in any situation, let alone being a quarterback that has a broken finger, broken thumb, a torn torso, and you know, just all the weight of the world on him. So we can get into how much of a freak Christian Watson is. We can get into the fact that Aaron Jones seemed to contribute as much as he could. I think he might be nursing a little bit of an injury. AJ Dillon, when Jones couldn't show up, he decided, oh, great, I'm going to take this on my shoulders. Then we had guys like Lazard that were standalone guys that just showed up and were steady Eddies. So all around, I'm so happy. It was just so good. It's so filling for me personally because everybody on this stream right now has tickets to the next game the Packers play. And I'm just going to say, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot more fun. And honestly, if we had lost, I was ready to acknowledge that maybe this was a blooming into the next generation of Packer years. But at this point, mathematically, we are still in the hunt. And I know that Rodgers is definitely not going to sit at this point. That's not going to happen. We are going to be watching Aaron Rodgers starting against the Rams. And who knows if Stafford's going to be able to go at that game. So maybe we win that game. And then who knows what happens after that, guys. So I am here for it. I am rejuvenized. I'm ready to go. Justin, no swearing. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's always
that was very proper.
It's always good to watch the Packers beat the Bears. I'm not gonna lie. I was among the camp that I'd rather see the Packers lose out and get the better draft pick. But you know, at the same time, I was telling a bunch of my buddies today. You know, we're playing the Bears. I can't root against us to not beat the Bears.
That's right.
The three of us are all going to be there in 2 weeks against the Rams. I'm not going to root against us then. We got to win these games. You know, it's a weird season for us, man. But, you know, it's nice to beat the Bears. So,
Justin, real quick, how old are you? Because Clayton asked me this the other day. How old are you? When were you born?
I was born in 88.
He's younger than I am.
Oh, and man. I will be 34 the day after I see you guys. My birthday.
Oh, wow. So it's a Justin's birthday celebration.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh,
it's going to get dangerous up there.
Yeah, that's not good.
Love it. All right, so Goose in the chat said, I asked for his input, and he said, I was out shopping, so I was in and out of the game. The biggest takeaways, Watson's a stud. Dylan's returning to form. The defense is just a train wreck, and I think a bunch of guys need to be benched, and Barry needs to be out of town. Also, Tom is looking like a gosh darn mega hit by Goot. Goot is the GOAT. Oh, and Rodgers still owns the Chicago Bears. Actually, says Chicago Bays. I think he means I'm an 88. What do you say? I'm an 88 baby too. Awesome, man. Yeah. Good stuff. All right. So that's pretty much sums it up. Now, I will say this. I agree with AJ Dillon, which I can't remember if it was you, Jacob, or maybe it was Ryan on his podcast. Somebody had talked about how AJ Dillon's one of those running backs. You know, like when it comes to Aaron Jones, you can just throw him in and he's an impact player. But with AJ, it's like you've got to get a little bit of momentum. You've got to get a little bit of a flow to the game. It's almost like he's got to kind of get in rhythm. And that's something that's pretty common across the league. But with that being said, I thought he looked a lot better for sure. I love the fact that the Packers didn't give up on the running game as quick as I wanted them to, because I think that might have cost us the game, to be honest with you. The fact that they kind of stuck with it there with AJ down the stretch really made a big difference. And Jake here in the chat said, you're really watching that Seahawks-Rams result. So evidently there's playoff implications there. We need to figure out maybe if one of us can do that by the end of the show to kind of look at the current standings. And you got to search NFC conference standings to get the true, you know, playoff seed. But maybe we could take a look at that before we get out of here. But let's start off.
Go ahead. What did they say before today's game? We had like a 48% chance still to get in the playoffs.
Was it that high? Because that's awesome if it was.
No, he said 4-2-8, right?
No, I think it was 48 if we went out. I didn't finish that. Yeah.
Got to have a little bit of help. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right to me.
A lot of help.
Yeah.
Out. Little help. Yeah. Little help, Justin. Come on, let's keep it positive. All right, so I'm going to share my screen here so you guys just ignore the echo for a second. We're going to go to the first big play. It came in the second quarter, 23 seconds left. The Packers were losing 16-3, and this was the Christian Watson touchdown catch here. On fourth down, guys, I was in the chat screaming, kick the freaking field goal. What are we doing? It's early, and then after they completed it, I went, that's right. That's exactly what you do. But here's the play.
We'll snap it on fourth down. Rodgers steps up. End zone. Watson. He's got it again. He is absolutely on fire. His seventh touchdown in the last four games, and the Packers are right back in.
All right, so what did they say, seventh touchdown in the last four games? Is that right?
What a stud, man.
Yeah, dude, that's exciting stuff, man, because you guys heard me. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I kind of laid out all the draft picks, and I said, all right, these three are hits. These four are still up in the air. I think these three are misses, whatever the number was. One of the up in the air was Christian Watson, and everybody was like, you're crazy, dude. What do you mean? He's just hit. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I need to see more. I was wrong. And I'm so glad I was wrong, because this dude, he is an impact player. Everything that Ryan's talked about on the PackerNet podcast about how even just him being in jet motion, right? and how it manipulates the defense and forces them to look at different angles. Guys, you got to give kudos to Matt LaFleur too, and we'll talk about it here in a second, the end of round. All the play calling today really set up that fourth quarter. I mean, everything laid into place. They were setting up play after play after play. And when Christian Watson is healthy and he's on the field, man, he is a game breaker. He's one of those guys that tilts the field. Now, what you're going to start to see, Jacob, I truly believe this. I think you're going to start to see a little bit of bracket coverage. What you got there, Justin?
I don't know if you can see that.
What you do?
I'm just giving Jacob shit crap because whooping him in our fantasy matchup.
Gotcha. Okay.
Really?
That doesn't count as a curse word because you did not use the T at the end.
You didn't fully
giving him crap.
Fully do it.
Right, yeah. Kind of like Darnell Savage. You don't fully commit to every single play. On the team. Anyway, so, Jacob, what did you think, man, of that touchdown catch? Obviously, Rodgers, you know, he threw several wobblers. He was definitely off the mark. I didn't see him make any bad decisions today, but it was all about accuracy and probably the thumb. It's an excuse. I get it. But that throw to Watson, what really caught my eye was Aaron kind of, I don't want to say underthrew him, but threw behind him a bit. And Watson adjusted, bodied the guy, made the possession catch. It was a nice catch. And you know, I thought he was just supposed to be a speed demon. And here he is making possession catches and doing all these things in the running game and everything else. What did you think about Watson today?
Yeah, I guess that was one of my things that I was really impressed with is that it wasn't – he didn't run like a perfect route or nothing, but he's not like the – you know, the scramble type guys like Lazard. I saw a stat about Lazard, which I thought was insane. Of the 45 catches or 43 catches that he had, like 38 of them were first downs. I may be off by like two catches or receptions or whatever, but it's like either basically 40 catches, and 35 of them are first downs, right? So that's kind of, he's like our go-to. When I say that Lazard earlier, me and Clayton talked about this, how he wasn't a number one receiver. And that just means he's not like the number one stat receiver, but he is a number one possession receiver, as if like, you know, you look for him on first and third downs, obviously, and being a secure guy. But now Watson is evolving into being that quote unquote first receiver. That's just the deep threat, the crossing route guy, the drag route guy. And now, like you said, he also adds into the mix that he can just take an end around and absolutely run it to the house. We talked earlier about how he has he's second in the league of running over 20 miles per hour, which is just, I mean, gazelles or like antelopes. I don't know what it was. Zebras do that. Like not humans. Humans don't do that. The only other people that do that are Tyreek Hill. That's the only other guy that's, you know,
dogs with the mange back home in Harlem.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah, man. I just like, people don't do that. Human beings are not supposed to do that. And the only guy that can do that is Tyreek Hill, again, who is like a mini-me type person who's like 5'10", maybe, when he's wearing sand, like, you know, high heels. The guy is just incredible. And, again, I want to take my condolences. I only ripped on Christian Watson one time on one podcast.
Bringing it up.
Let me hit timeout. So
he was my first draft pick because choice.
Jacob always brings this up, and nobody has ever pointed out that he ripped on him. But
I feel guilty.
He hates himself for it every time.
just cut it off.
Hey, man,
it's me, mea culpa. I have to do it because in my heart of hearts, I feel so guilty. Because one time I said, he's kind of made of glass. That's all I said.
I told you.
I said he's a freak. He's a phenom. He's going to be amazing. And now, holy crap, he is. And I just feel so guilty because I made his. I just hope, Mama Watson, if you're watching. I just,
you know, if you stop talking about it, nobody would even know.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's like my dog, man. When my dog gets into the treat bag and I didn't let him right, I go downstairs and he's
like,
"Carry
me to your dog."
I'm like, bro, just what? If you would just chill out, I wouldn't even know. Like, anyway.
That is true. Like, if your dog was just like,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
I've done nothing.
Smoking a cigar in the corner of the room.
Prove it, sir.
So Goose says in the chat, he said, remind me how many touchdowns Pickens has. How about the other rookies? How about any other wide receivers? Love it because it goes hand in hand with what Jake said in the chat here, which was I looked up touchdown in the dictionary and all I seen was a picture of Christian Watson. So
why isn't Jake on the live? Why don't we get Jake on here? Jake, come on, get on the draft.
Jake's one of those guys, man. He's trying to say how to say this appropriately. He just gives you just a little sample every now and then. and keeps you always wanting, you know, keeps you coming back for more, right? So I think he gave me that one visit on the podcast, and he's like, nah, I ain't ever going back on that. That's a joke of a show. I'm never going back on there again. So anyway, Justin, what'd you think of Christian Watson today, man?
No swearing.
I like how you had to remind me. I mean, the dude is a beast, man. Like, how do you – obviously, he had the injury issues and the concussions and all that at the beginning of the season, but I've said it time and time again since we drafted him. He was my favorite draft pick of every pick that we made throughout the draft this season, and he – again, he had the injury issues, but he – dude is killing it. How it's it, – there is not a more exciting player to watch on this team than Christian Watson right now.
Yeah.
The dude is a stud. He is absolutely just lighting it up. I don't know.
It's funny, Justin, you say injury issues, but in the beginning of the season, it was almost more of a confidence issue, because remember what he did that first play of scrimmage against the Vikings, the first play that we got to see Christian Watson, first play Aaron Rodgers drops back, first play that everybody's so excited to see after waiting for 6 months of football. We see him streaming down the sideline, a perfect ball hits him directly in the hands. He's leading the defender by 3 yards, and what happens? He drops it.
He dropped that ball, and he's had other drops at times, but –
but imagine if he catches it, is what I'm saying. Do you – like, because we've seen now that he's a confident player when he has – a couple, like, and he didn't just drop that ball. He dropped a few other balls. He got injured. And then in that Dallas game where he quote unquote came alive, people don't remember he dropped the first two balls of that game too. So he had to, at that moment, be like, all right, I got to pull myself up out of this dirt.
That's one of the best things about him as a player though, is I think that he doesn't get down on himself. He drops a ball and he doesn't hang his head and be a crybaby about it. The dude picks his head back up and he is a difference maker for the rest of the game. And he has been a difference maker for what, the last month now?
Yes.
Yeah. That's
he's going to be an all-star in this league. And I guarantee it right now.
Yeah. That's what you call mental toughness too, man. It's like when I forget to take out the trash and I still sit at the dinner table with my wife and look her in the eye, right? That's called mental toughness. And Christian Watson has that for sure. So I'm going to share the screen here. We're going to go to the next play that kind of came up to me and seemed important. This was in the fourth quarter. We had a fast forward to the fourth quarter. 14:47 left. Chicago's winning 19-10. A.J. Dillon with a nice touchdown run. Let's check it out.
Fake it to Watson. Give it to Dillon. And A.J. Dillon on the move into the end zone. It's a touchdown. And the Packers are within a score. You talked about blocking receivers for Green Bay. Sammy Watkins had a really nice.
All right, so one of the things you heard there early on in that play was fake it to Watson, give it to Dillon, right? And that's what I was talking about. Matt LaFleur called a really good game. I know it didn't feel like it until the fourth quarter, but there were so many plays he was trying to make happen, and it just all kind of came together and clicked in the fourth quarter. And kudos to Rodgers, sticking to the game plan, didn't check out of a lot of plays, stayed with the run, went to the end around later on. But again, that was set up by that A.J. Dillon run. And anytime a running back scores, guys, you've got to look at the offensive line and say, okay, you know, what role did they play? I felt like the offensive line played really good. And Goose in the chat brings up a good point. He says, so when Bach retires, meaning Bakhtiari, is Zach Tom or Jenkins the dude at left tackle? In my opinion, it's definitely Zach Tom. Zach Tom looks more comfortable at left tackle than he does at left guard. And with Jenkins' uncertainty going into the offseason, are we going to re-sign him or are we not? I think it's just absolutely phenomenal that we've got Zach Tom, who can fill in the guard in a pinch, but also play left tackle. So he's the left tackle of the future, in my opinion. And then, you know, whatever you got to do with Jenkins, I'm personally leaning towards, look, if he's asking for $10 million plus per year on average, I don't want him back, man. I love the dude. I'd love to see him back with Green Bay. That would be great. But you got to go let him test the market coming off that ACL. Let him come back and see if it makes sense. But right now, as it sits, you're going to be getting Yosh back. You got Bach at left tackle. You'll have Yosh at right tackle, because you will be able to sign him to an offer that can be matched in free agency. Therefore, probably will include draft picks. I don't know all the details there, but I do know that he is not an unrestricted free agent. JJ pointed that out when we were on a podcast here recently. So you got Myers at center, left tackle Bakhtiari, right tackle Yosh Nijman, Nijman, whatever you want to call him. And then you got Zach Tom that can plug in at left guard. Guys, that's all. And Runyon playing right guard fairly decent, especially in the passing game. That's all you need at the offensive line. You do not need to overpay for Elgton Jenkins. But with that being said, you get a stud left guard back at a discounted price because he tested the market and the market wasn't there. That would be awesome. But what do you think, Jacob? What's your dream scenario for the offensive line next year?
Man, this one's that's really tough for me because right now I am as much on the fence with Bakhtiari, maybe even more than Rodgers, because with Rodgers, it's not that I don't trust that he can do it still. I think that he just doesn't – his heart's not in it, and he maybe has a contractual thing going on, or maybe he's just – I don't know. With Bakhtiari,
I think they're kind of a package deal.
I do in a way, but that's again why I don't quite –
one stays, the other stays.
And exactly, but that's where I'm saying is, so I think that Bakhtiari – I think that Rodgers is a mental, whether or not he wants to do it. Bakhtiari, to me right now, is 100% physically if he's able to keep playing in the NFL. I don't think there's anybody that can argue the fact that there's a question mark as to why or whether or not he can finish an NFL season at an elite level, not even at an elite level, just at a – if he can just limp through a season because he didn't play this game, guys, and he hasn't played multiple games in the last 2 years. And granted, when he does play, he's still a decent – I shouldn't say decent. He's a very great, if not
great.
Good
–
Yeah, he's a great left tackle, but he's up there in age now. This is the type of year where we don't give offensive linemen that final, you know, third, fourth. We never do that usually, you know, unless they're absolute phenoms. And he's hurt, and he's. That being said, I'm one of those guys. I'm a very big Yosh lover. I don't understand why, honestly, he gets as much hate as he does. I shouldn't say hate, but I still have hope in Myers. I still think that Runyon has some hope. If we can refine his run blocking skills, he's going to be a freak. I mean, he'd be an elite blocker in any aspect of the game. I want to see what we have out of Elgton. I don't know exactly what to do there. That one, because I thought right out of the gates with Elgton, he's our next Bakhtiari. This is the guy we're going to – and I didn't even think of him as a tackle. I just thought if he's that guard, just pay him. But now I'm worried that he's going to think he's that guard because he's kind of played there and that tackle money. And now he's going to think that he's solidified guard and he's going to try to get money in between. Like you, Clayton, I don't want to pay him to be a high price guard or a high price tackle. I want him to just get paid as a guard and then show us that you can do more.
Yeah, because he definitely didn't show he could play tackle, in my opinion, right? So no. I know here
in stretches, but that's it.
Yeah. In the chat, Bill Ryan says, Jacob, I admit the same. I don't know what that word is.
Mea culpa.
Okay, Mea. See, Jacob's already used to me not having a good grab of the English language. He's ready to explain.
I believe it's Latin just for saying I'm sorry or something like that.
As I also said that Watson was made of glass. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I love it, man. Love it when people repent on the show. Now, Jake in the chat says the dream would be Paris Johnson at left tackle, Zach Tom at left guard, ooh, Josh Myers at center, John Runyon at right guard, Yosh Nijman at right tackle. What do you think, Justin? What do you see for the offensive line next year?
I'm honestly pretty impressed with Zach Tom at left tackle. I truly think that Bakhtiari is going to come back next year because I think that Aaron Rodgers is coming back next year. And I feel like with the comments that Rodgers made in the, 2020 offseason when he was dealing with all the drama and everything about the people in the building, if Rodgers stays for another season and then Green Bay kicks Bakhtiari to the curb, that's not going to suit well with Rodgers.
That's exactly
so
right.
That's not going to work. Yep.
I truly think that Rodgers is going to play one more season, and I think probably the same for Bakhtiari. I think that we have a solid future with Zach Tom, probably at left tackle, but I think we're going to get one more year out of those guys.
I agree. I think it's a package deal for sure because, like, you know, let's say Rodgers does retire, right? If Rodgers does retire and you feel like Zach Tom can play as good or better than Bakhtiari, then it's kind of like the girlfriend that leaves you and she left your dog there. You just throw the dog out in the cold too, right? I mean, that's what everybody does. So I could kind of see it unfolding.
You wouldn't save your dog?
But, you know, so With that being said, I believe that Bach comes back. I think Aaron comes back. And I think it's the two most important positions on offense, man. I mean, it's absolutely huge that you've got veterans at those two positions, and there's no reason to rush with Love. If Love is the guy, you extend him, that cap hit hits in 2024, Aaron Rodgers retires, you free up cap room from the retirement. If Bach walks away, you free up room in the cap room with the retirement of Bakhtiari. Zach Tom plugs and plays. Zach Tom is going to be the key to this offensive success moving forward, and the fact that he was that late of a pick is just absolutely phenomenal. So I'm going to go ahead and share the screen. We're going to move on to the next big play here. And this came in the fourth quarter, 2:57 left. The Packers were winning at this point, 20-19. All right. So kind of got back out in front. Packers got a 1-point lead. And guys, I bashed on him most of the game. I seen him blow coverage after coverage. And we're talking about Jair Alexander, Mr. $20 million a year, right? And then he came up absolutely huge and proved me wrong here in the fourth quarter. Like I said, 2:57 left. Here's the play.
On the football. Looking to throw again. Comeback route. It is picked off potentially by Jair.
All right. So the cutoff kind of quick there, but you heard it. Here's the beautiful thing about that. When you seen him get burned, I believe it was on the N'Keal Harry play, if I remember correctly.
He got burned twice.
He tried to jump the sit and go, right? And he got burned. Was that the play? Am I thinking right with Harry?
Yep.
I think it was, yeah. Okay, so here you see, you know, we're complaining about that, we being me in the chat, right? We're complaining that he jumped that sit and go, but then turns around, he jumps a sit later on, gets pretty much the, I don't want to say the game ceiling, but that was probably the most important play of the day, right? So Jair Alexander, yep. Huge.
What did you say in the chat, Clayton, that you hate him until you don't?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. That's the way it reminds me of Mike Holmgren back in the day when they said that he would talk about Favre. And he was going, no, no, no. And then he turns into a big play and goes, yes, yes, yes. That was me all day with Jair. But what do you think, Jacob? Am I too critical of Jair Alexander this year, man? Because I've definitely been very vocal and like, man, he seems to be kind of screw the scheme at times. I'm going to do what I think is right. Or not that I'm more important than the team, but it's like, okay, I'm smart enough that I can gamble on this play, and it's caused some big plays. But am I being too critical, you think?
I don't think that you're being too critical. I think that you're being just accurately critical, because if we can remember last week, if I'm not mistaken, was it even Sam Holman or somebody that showed us, or maybe it was you, Clay, that showed us that there was one of those plays where there was an opportunity for Jair to go in, lower his shoulder, absolutely try and stop a defender from running into the goal line. And I'm telling you what, this guy whiffed. I mean, whiffed of all whiffs. Like he made a
business decision.
I was going to say, it was a career choice. That was one of those things where it's like, I see myself trying to play longer by not making this play. Now, that being said, I've seen him tonight and in other games where he is – as Packer fans, we always ask ourselves, why isn't there any rah-rah guys? Why aren't there any guys on the sidelines hyping people up? Why isn't anybody dumping, you know, headbutting people on the face like they're Dan Campbell and they're just doing crazy stuff? Cocaine Bear. I want a Cocaine Bear on the sidelines.
Hey, you know that's a true story, right?
Like, oh, I know it is. Trust me, Clayton. We covered it in our podcast.
Did you?
Yeah, we did.
I remember growing up listening to that.
I want a
that's how our little league coach in Kentucky got us fired up before games.
See, like Justin, that was not just a plug in our show. That was a real, actual thing. Just saying. But I need a Cocaine Bear on the sidelines, man. I need somebody jacking us up. And if Jair is that guy, if he's the guy that gets people, you know, jacked up and ready to go, you know, run through a brick wall, then I like that about him. And I've always thought that was his persona. And, you know, he's our Deion. He's our Deion Sanders completely. And Deion, though, always made plays. He never was the guy that talked the smack and then left something to be wanted. And Jair, on a few different occasions.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing. But they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
513 Whiskey declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Lately this year has been us thinking, like, why did we pay this guy? Like, why? And then again, then to see him have that interception redemption, very much so. It definitely made him go back into my I like him category, but he's real close on that in between because, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. And Jake in the chat agrees. He says, man, Jair needed that play, and he really did, man. That's the type of play. It's kind of like the Christian Watson over-the-shoulder catch there that Aaron Rodgers said really changed the season for him. That could be that kind of spark for Jair for sure. But what do you think, Justin? Listen, I got a dog screaming down here, so I'm going to go let him in. He wants to be in the
I got a kid screaming over here, too, but I'm going to keep rolling for a while. But I don't know, man. He's kind of been making those kind of plays all year, hasn't he? Like, I think the defense as a whole has underperformed.
Yes.
We just haven't been playing well, but we just had a bunch of flash plays, and Jair's made a bunch of those.
Yeah.
It's just been a down year for the whole team. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to look.
No, I just didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think it's specifically in the secondary because we looked at Jair like he was our, you know, like I said, our Deion Sanders, our shutdown corner, and he's the guy. And then we thought we had Stokes, who was our second year, you know, phenom guy that's going to be that up-and-coming guy. And then we thought we had Rasul, the freak free agent that we got off the streets that's supposed to be so shut down. And literally every single one of those guys have kind of played just like, you know, like third stringers basically. So
Jair, I have not been that upset with because the dude's been making plays. He has given up some big plays. Stokes, I don't know. I was never high on him from the get go. I think he kind of always has been what he has been. He has not been great. But Rasul Douglas, I am a little bit upset with this year. Like I feel like last year he really killed it, and this year, no bueno.
No bueno. So not
done great.
So I'd push back a little bit. I think Stokes, it's not that he's not – I think that he's not a well-rounded cornerback at this point in his career, but he has the absolute athletic tendencies that would – I still have hopes in him. It's kind of like how I was with Savage on, like, year two, and now – you know, I'm looking at Savage.
Here goes Clayton.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like Stokes has the tools. He can be good, but
and so does Savage.
He isn't. Well, yes. Yeah.
You know, it's
did you guys just, listen? Did you guys listen to Ryan's podcast this morning?
No, I have not yet. No,
so I did not listen to anybody's podcast this morning. I've been running around like crazy all day.
Gosh, you're selfish. Ugh, it's always you and your family. Ugh. Hateful Justin, as always. So
gotta get rid of that nickname.
No, it's really good. It's sticking
thanks,
well.
Tony.
Thanks, Tone. I Ryan's contention was that basically this is definitely gonna be a defensive coaching type issue. And I don't know. I at this point, like, I don't know if I can disagree with that. I just don't know if I can. But I will say, Clayton, we talked about this specifically in the chat. There was another one play again where everybody was in position to do what they needed to do and they just didn't. And I had, all right, oh yeah, I'm so glad I remembered this. I had a great quote. I can't remember exactly what it is because I'm not going to be so vain as to look it up. But in regards to, as basically the question was phrased as, is it the coach's job So let's say a defensive coach gets a first round draft pick, which the Packers have seven of them, if I'm not mistaken. So therefore a guy hears that and they say, well, all right, you have seven first round draft picks. Therefore you have talent on your team. So it's their job, meaning the player's job, to perform and do their due diligence. And if they don't, then it's on the players. And that was I was pushing back just a little bit, and I said, well, that's like saying if you buy like a car off the lot and you never change the oil, you never put any gas in it, you never put the tires in, and you just expect that that car is going to be the same car that you bought going forward.
Right.
And to me, that's where in this analogy, this is a great Ryan Schlipp analogy. I'm a schnology, a schlipology. You got it. The coaches are the maintenance guys, man. They're there to put those tires in, man. They're there to check the oil level. They're there to make sure the transmission's running. You know what I'm saying? They're there to make sure that car is running.
Sound like an O'Reilly's commercial. I love this, dude.
O'Reilly's sponsor us. What's up?
Yeah, sponsor in the chat.
Rock Auto, auto parts. Yeah, we're not crazy. Anybody, get in there. But I'm just saying. I mean, that's in my opinion. That is where, like, we got a bunch of talent, and maybe that's another analogy. Is we have a ball of clay, and they're all first round talents. The coach's job to mold that into actual pieces of art. Man, that was a good one too.
Absolutely, oof, good stuff. It. All right, so who's here in the chat? Go back a little bit here. He said, I had to hop back on because I feel like everyone is too quick to write off Jenkins. It's funny. Goose is in the administrator chat. He's in the listener chat. I'm going to see him he's pumping gas dipping. Here in Tennessee tomorrow somehow. Like, he's all over the place here. But he
I
says,
don't want to write off Jenkins, but I just feel like he has to be a guard.
Yeah.
It feels like it does. I mean, yeah. He says he played at a very elite level at left tackle last year and has been trending back to us to that back – to for the last few games. It's true. He's had flashes here or there, but you know, it's kind of like what we talked about with Josh early in the season, Jacob, that we just assume that we're playing Madden, and it's like, put an offensive line wherever you want to. You know what I mean? It's like, it's pretty obvious to me that Elgton Jenkins is a solid left guard, right? I've actually had the opinion of, you know what, if you're not going to play him at tackle, and for some reason Josh Myers didn't pan out, let's say he does pan out, and this actually goes back to the contract situation. Who is our center if Josh Myers goes down? Have we thought about that?
Jenkins.
I don't know. I feel like.
But if Jenkins is not on the roster, who is it?
Last year it was Lucas Patrick, right?
Right.
So
Wasn't it Jake Hansen for a while, too?
When we drafted Elgton Jenkins, he was drafted. It popped up on my phone. Like, we just drafted a center.
Right.
Like, I'm like, why did we just draft a center? We have Corey Linsley at that time. Like, what the heck are they doing?
Oh, and I'm so proud of you for not swearing right there, buddy.
Yeah, dude,
really hard on that.
Not for sure.
I'm not going to try to turn this into the Packernet Fantasy Podcast. I'm keeping it clean for Clayton.
Since we're talking about the offensive line, I'm going to go to another play here. This came in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left. Green Bay was winning 20-19. This one kind of sealed the deal, and this was a fun one to watch. Guys, we talked about it all game long. They set this play up over and over and over. You heard on the last play that the play before the Alexander interception, the A.J. Dillon touchdown run, it said fake to Watson, right? And then watch this play right here. Let's listen along.
1 point game. It's not the first time that's happened this year. It's Watson on the end around. He can fly. And he can fly to the end zone. Touchdown, Green Bay.
that boy put on third.
First rushing touchdown of the rookie's career.
He got in the air, fellas. And he realized that's not a good idea, right?
Was that not the second rushing touchdown he had? They said it was his first, but
I think the
first was technically a touch pass, I believe.
Oh,
so it counts as a touchdown. But, you know, us Packer fans, Packer homers, we're not going to mention that that's one of the touchdown passes in the stats, right? Like, we're just we're not going to mention that basically handoffs.
But they said that he had the six touchdown passes in the last whatever. So – Whatever.
I could be wrong. We need to check that for sure, because I couldn't find
one of those updated stats and just before we started streaming. But now I have to think that so over the last four games, it has to be 25 catches, 550 yards, 8 touchdowns, something around that line, or something, you know, maybe less yardage. I mean, the dude's been just
rookie of the year. Rookie of the year.
Bro, listen, AJ Dillon, 18 carries, 93 yards, 5.2 a pop, right? And outside of that, I mean, you had Aaron Jones, 9 carries, 26 yards. Granted, he was banged up, only 2.9 a pop. Patrick Taylor had 1 for 6. Aaron ended up rushing 3 times, averaged 1.3 a pop. But Christian Watson, 1 carry, 46 yards, dude. You've seen the speed, Justin. When he took the corner, dude, there was no doubt. And you heard Darius Big Play Slay say last week, this dude has got veteran DBs miscalculating their angles. But, I mean –
He said there's fast and then there's fast. And he said he's fast.
As soon as he hit that corner, I said I looked over and I said, he's gone.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. Dude, as soon as he got it and I seen the edge kind of get sealed off, I didn't even worry about the second level. I'm like, I don't even care where they're at. He's gonna have so much speed and momentum, this cat's gone. He's gone for sure. So it's exciting, man, because that really opens up this Matt LaFleur offense, you know, to where we talk about. And when Christian Watson went down with the injuries, you had none of that. There was nobody playing that reverse row, playing that jet motion.
How different does this offense look when Christian Watson is on the field compared to when he's not?
Yeah.
Right.
100%.
Yeah. Night and day.
Can I bring up some weird fact here or just an interesting fact?
Absolutely, man.
Please do.
As we're all sitting here contemplating as, oh, my God, the Packers had such a bad season. What are we going to do looking forward into the next year? Meaning, like, you know, do we have any hope going into next year? Well, think about this. We've got arguably the best quarterback that's ever played the game coming back, hopefully, next year. If he doesn't, then we have arguably one of the best up-and-coming rookie – not rookie, but first-year starters that have happened in recent memory. That being said, we also have arguably the best running back duo in the league. We have a very up-and-coming wide receiver core that's as rookie receivers like Watson, Dobbs, even Torre. We have legit guys like Lazard. Let's look over at the Bears side, thinking that maybe this is what's going to happen when they show up the next year. They got Justin Fields, who has been shown to be a paper tiger. The guy can run the ball. If you have to force him to be an actual quarterback in a game-time situation, he will poop in his bed, sir. And then you have rushing people that, you know, their leading rusher is almost every single year or every single game this year going to be Fields. Montgomery, if you want to think that he's a great player, great. Let's look at the receivers, guys. Let's look at this real quick. Their leading receiver was Equanimeous St. Brown. You remember him? He was a guy we cut a long time ago because he sucks. He got 3 receptions. Granted, he got it on us, so that makes us look like crap, but 3 receptions for 85 yards. Cole Kmet, a tight end that nobody thought would do anything this year, who honestly, I didn't either. But then other than that, the only guy that had a big play was N'Keal Harry, a guy that got cut by the Patriots like a long time ago who nobody thought would have a career. And then Chase Claypool was their leading targeted receiver other than Cole Kmet, and he only got 5 receptions for 28 yards, and he left with an injury. So I'm just saying,
wow,
we really did have a good game. And even if this is a Bears up-and-coming team, everybody's saying they're up-and-coming, as the Packers are limping into their worst year ever, we're still smoking these dudes. So let's just take this all and put it in perspective. So,
absolutely. And Justin had to hop off, man. I think he must have an Equanimeous Brown jersey that's autographed, and you just ruined his night. So maybe that's why he had hop. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now he's on daddy duty, but we appreciate him hopping on. He may be back. So in the chat here, Jake says, Sewell, talking about Rasul Douglas, always takes chances. Last season, he guessed right at a higher rate than this year. That's exactly right. And we've seen the interceptions last year, Jacob, and it was awesome. Who is this guy? Why is he so good? It's obvious that he plays very, very aggressive in the secondary. And today, I had several negative marks for Rasul Douglas. I felt like he had a bad day. You're probably going to see his PFF grade be a little bit lower. I really expect that. But that's a great point that Jake makes there in the chat. And then let's see here. Goose says, I wonder if the cornerbacks are suffering because they don't trust the safeties. I wouldn't trust the safeties with my ex-girlfriend's puppy. I'm telling you right now. Like, it's bad. Bad news there.
Rudy Ford, bro. Can we talk about Rudy Ford real quick?
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear it.
Because he's been a guy that I really, really was encouraged by. And don't get me wrong, he did make a couple actually really great plays in pockets. But there were some other plays. Yes. But there was other plays where you're like, okay, this is why he's not – you know, a first-round draft pick, starting safety, blah, blah, blah. But I really do think that he, because of how much of a step back he is on being a starting role in the NFL, I think that he still has made more positives overall.
Absolutely.
And I still am a Rudy Ford fan. I really am. So
no, I am too, man. And you know, I expect them to have a bad PFF grade. When I say bad, it's not going to be in the 80s, right? It could be in the 70s. It might be in the 60s. No. But I'll say this. When you need a play, who's making it? It's Rudy Ford. Like when they stripped that ball out, granted, Rasul Douglas stripped the ball out, but who was there? He's always in the right place, Jake. Now, early in the game, he did blow a coverage, to the best of my knowledge. I'm eager to go and look at it for maybe Chalk Talk or just
– I think I saw at least two.
I felt like he had the underneath protection, and he did not drop deep enough on that little out-slash-corner route. But that's really how I felt. Jake says in the chat, last 4 weeks, 15 catches, 313 yards, 7 touchdowns, 49 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown. I'm assuming that's for Christian Watson.
That's got to be Watson, right?
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable.
Oof.
And he says probably going to have to add Addison / Johnson to the mix for the Bears as well. So good stuff, man. Mike in the chat says, this win does not make up for all the bad play by both the offense and especially the defense. It cannot be unseen. Hey, I got to agree with you, man. You know, a win is a win, but this team has been exposed this year. There's no two ways about it, right? But I know this game today, I heard very little chatter about tank for a better pick because this was Bears week. This was the week where you come out and say, look, we've got the opportunity to be the all-time winningest team in NFL history. We finally get to take
over.
And
we did that. And we did that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's all about winning. And it's what I love about Aaron Rodgers is like everything kind of pointed to maybe Aaron should sit, right? Maybe Aaron should rest it up. Maybe Aaron should go on the four-week IR and see if Love can spark a little something and this and that. And Aaron said over and over, I want to be out there with my guys. And I pointed out on my podcast, if you think there's somebody in that locker room that wants to hear anything other than I want to be out there with my guys and I'm willing to go out there and play hurt, because the coaching staff obviously still feels like Aaron is a better choice than Jordan Love right now, even with the injury, that's something that's going to win the teammates over even more. And it tells me that I think there's a chance he comes back next year. I really want to believe that Aaron and Bakhtiari both come back. But he did talk after the game, and I'm going to ask your comments here in a minute, Jacob, but I'm going to share the screen here and play his post-game press conference here, or interview on the field, rather. And let's hear what 12 had to say after this win over the Bears.
Much, Aaron, quite the strong finish from this group with you guys trailing 18 unanswered points to close this game. What was the key for you guys?
Just execution. We had some mental mistakes, jump off sides and negative yards plays at various times. But the fourth quarter, we buckled down. We had a big third down, I think, really to Christian on 3rd and 7. Fourth quarter, got it rolling. We had some good play calls by Matt and put them away at the end.
You had some special moments throughout your career in this building. And then on the two-point conversion to Mercedes, a nice little salute to the crowd. What was that one about?
You never know when it's going to be the last one. You know, I got great fans here in Chicago, but it truly has been a second home for me. We've had a lot of big wins here over the years, a lot of great moments with Cobby and with so many other guys over the years. So it's fun to come back here, get a win, and let the fans know I'm still here.
Well, you're still here despite all the ailments. It was really important for you to play in this game. And you told us there's a chance everything is winnable for you guys down the stretch. So what do you tell your guys here in the stretch run?
Well, we had a much-needed bye week. So we got some guys banged up. Aaron Jones was banged up today. Romeo was close to playing, but kind of tweaked in practice. So good to get him back. But, you know, we've had stretches where we've been playing really good football. I feel like we can beat anybody, as we saw last week. We can also lose to anybody, as we've seen this season. So it's been an up and down, but we're hoping to finish on a high note these last four and just give ourselves an opportunity. But can't win the last four, last five, unless you win the first one. So it's nice to get this one. We'll enjoy the bye week and much needed rest and come back for Monday night.
All right, good luck the rest of the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Woo, coming back for that Monday nighter. Does that sound familiar, Jacob?
Yeah, all too familiar.
I'm excited about it, man. I think it's going to be awesome. And it's my understanding that they are shutting Matt Stafford down pretty much for the entire season. I think they said he won't be available until week 17, if I understood correctly. So we'll be getting a backup quarterback there. There's a lot of things that's starting to go the Packers' way. It's just we have to have some help outside to get us in the playoffs. But, yeah, pretty cool stuff. So Jake says he really wanted to say, I still like to renew ownership. Love it, man. Absolutely love it.
Can I share one real quick thing I thought was interesting?
Go ahead.
Just when you look at the leading defensive tacklers for both teams, we had Devondre Campbell as our leader, followed by Jair with 7, and then followed by Quay. And then we had on the other side, Jack Sanborn, their rookie. So here, let me phrase it this way, I should say. A veteran Green Bay defender had the leading tackler as with 11 tackles, followed by our veteran, you know, cornerback Jair, and then our rookie linebacker. They had their rookie linebacker and their rookie cornerback, followed by a veteran linebacker, all being the top tacklers. And it's just kind of weird how we mix and matched those. And Jack Sanborn, once again, I'm going to go here and brag. Wisconsin linebacker, a guy that I thought would be even better than Leo Chenal.
A witness.
I said that, and then I thought, man, that was probably a stupid thing to say, because Sanborn ended up going undrafted. Chenal got picked, I believe, like in the second round or first round by the Kansas City Chiefs, and I don't think that's working out very well. But Sanborn, I'm telling you, man, I watch this kid. He looks like Urlacher incarnate. I mean, he can play the pass, play the run. I was super excited to see that. Not to brag on the Bears, but I'm just happy to see a Wisconsin Badger really playing well, and he's played well over at multiple games. So, anyways, I just wanted to brag on my Badgers. So,
absolutely, man, love it, dude.
Chenal was a late third rounder. Thank you, Jake.
We're going to go to Christian Watson here real quick, and just understand, guys, it sounded like the sound quality of the press conference setup here was a little bit rough. So, I apologize if it's too loud, too quiet. Hopefully, you can hear it okay. But we're going to give it a shot before we wrap this big bear up. But let's go listen to what Christian Watson said after the game.
But I mean, if we're calling the play on fourth down, we need to execute it. So I think it was huge for us.
It was tough to tell. Were they in zone or man on that?
I think they were in zone. I saw the too high look originally, so I thought I was just going to be able to double up on that backer and then just find that zone right in the middle. But the safety ended up cutting the route a little bit. So you know, as soon as I turned inside, I saw Aaron rolling out. And I obviously knew if it was too high and the safety was coming in, there would be no one outside. So just a quick little adjustment on the fly.
Do you feel like that chemistry, even though you missed so much time, like, is that chemistry for those kind of reads? Do you feel like there's something happening there now?
For sure. I think that, the more reps I get with 12, the better that chemistry gets.
I don't even think you guys can hear the rest of it. I don't know. Those guys, they don't know whether to crap or go blind, so they close one eye and fart during that press conference there. So at the sound quality sound like me trying to call in a pizza circa 1990 on Uncle Bill's phone back home in Kentucky. So that's rough, man, rough. But you heard him kind of talking about how, yeah, I noticed that I seen the safety drop down, so I immediately thought, okay, they might be in too high, so I adjusted. Like, this dude's getting it, Jacob. He's getting it. He has become a receiver, and it's so freaking exciting. So as we get ready to wrap up, man, like I said, just wanted to kind of hear his take there and point out the fact that he's really starting to understand the game at a different level. And like Aaron pointed out, it just, you know, Christian Watson's a great case study how one play can change the whole trajectory of your career. And that over-the-shoulder catch there several weeks ago really sparked all this that, hey, I can do this. I can do this at this level. But as we get ready to wrap up, is there anything else you want to hit on?
I mean, honestly, no, man. I'm just I feel super blessed that this was the outcome tonight. I feel super blessed that we get to go, you know, have a bye week where our team can go and heal and kind of connect, hopefully reevaluate what they're doing, reevaluate what they want for the rest of their season. I'm amazingly blessed that I get to go hang out with you guys after this next bye week, the next game that we play. It's going to be me, Clayton. I think is Sam going to go? I think Justin's going to be there. Hopefully Tony, if we have to go and get a mob of people with pitchforks, we'll get Ryan out of his house, maybe.
To show up.
Possibly, or at least we'll get him to Zoom call soon. You know, if Coach could go. Anyway, it's just, man, this is what it's all about, man. It makes me think about my, when I listened to the John Madden Thanksgiving intro, like it's about football and family and friends. And it is, man. It's just, that's what it's all about. Even on a year where it might be a losing year, I'm excited to hang out with my football brethren and my fellow Packer fans. So hopefully the next time we talk to you guys, or it'd be before that, but hopefully we can do something that's maybe live from Lambeau. I don't know if we've figured that out yet, Clayton, but I think that should be something we definitely try to do. It'd be at least hilarious to listen to. So that's where I'm at.
We might be able to do it. You know, I'm sitting here thinking we're going to do dinner at 1919 Kitchen and Tap Sunday evening. if we can get enough people together, and I understand everybody's in town for a limited amount of time, and they want to go, you know, see all the sites and do these things. But if we could get people together, that would be really cool. Maybe we could try to do it on Restream on the phone and us just have a conversation sitting over dinner at Lambeau Field at the 1919 Kitchen.
That'd be awesome.
That would be really cool. So
I don't know if we can edit that, but
that's the thing. We may have to mark that one as adult content because, you know, everything that we do on this podcast, we definitely mark it clean. And it's funny. I always try to think, Jacob, as when I record a podcast, even by myself, because I get a little bit hot-headed at times. I know that's a big surprise, right? But I find myself going, okay, there is a father and a son listening to this podcast together right now, right? That's how I always run it through the filter. And us sitting around having a couple spotted cows, a drink or two, and some great beer cheese soup at 1919 Kitchen and Tap on the upper level of Lambeau Field, it's going to be really hard to keep the language in control. So,
yeah.
We'll see what we can do. maybe we can get Ryan to send out a special edition of it or something. So, with that being said, though, guys, we're going to get out of here. We really appreciate everybody hanging out in the chat. Going back through here, Jake, Goose, Mike, Bill Ryan, the whole gang, everybody, you guys are awesome. We really appreciate your time. Again, the Packers come away with a 28-19 victory. If you're listening to this on Monday, you know, grinding out on the what are you laughing about, Jay?
Because you didn't mention the xgirls.xss live found us on the dating site. Everybody else was
every week I block another one and they keep popping up in here. So I don't know what to do about it, man.
Really Clayton don't. Denied the dating love site that apparently loves us a lot. So
hey, evidently. I don't know, man.
Go pick it, go.
It is what it is. I think my dog's been up here on the computer or something. Who knows? Anyway. So for those of you listening on the pod on Monday, we appreciate you taking time out of the work day to hang out with us. So we're going to get out of here. Like I said, Packers come away 28-19 over the Bears. We are the all-time winningest franchise in the history.
Yeah, let's go.
Which is awesome. So as always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go, Pack, go.
Pass is picked off, and who is it? Big B.J. Raji for the touchdown. Pump fake. Wallace picked off. Nick Collins. Nick Collins on the return inside the 10, leaps for the touchdown.